It's hard to believe that we're already at this time of year. Next Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday. After Thanksgiving Sunday, Advent begins. Advent is four wonderful, awesome, incredible weeks of total chaos. And then it's Christmas. The holidays are here, and holiday can bring all kinds of stress. You know, the first holiday in my mind is Thanksgiving. And for Thanksgiving, man, you either have to clean the house, get everything decorated, cook a big meal, invite all these people over, or you have to go over to somebody else's house where you'd really rather not be, let's be honest. Thanksgiving just is nuts. And then all the other holidays follow right after that. This can be a very stressful time. And what's sad about that is this should be a joyful time. This should be a wonderful experience for those of us who can sing, "I'm a child of God." This should be an excellent, wonderful time of year. And so as we head now into this season of holidays, I want us to avoid some of the stress, some of the chaos. And as we think about this in terms of the stressful holidays, I think that there may even be a way that some of us might find some truths in what we're going to talk about that could be applied the rest of the year as well. Does anybody else have stress before Thanksgiving, sometime between January 1 and November? Probably all of us deal with stress. As a matter of fact, a study that was done not too long ago showed that 98% of Americans report some level of stress. Granted, most of those were not terrible stress, but some level of 98% of Americans say they recognize stress in their life. What might life look like if we were able to figure out a way, based on Scripture, based on the example of one of the great heroes of the faith, what if we could figure out a way to change that stress into joy? That's what I want us to think about as we look at Philippians chapter 1. If you have your copy of Scripture, you'll want to look there with us. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians is often called the epistle of joy. Now, the word epistle just means letter. This is a letter of joy. The reason we call it that is that's basically the theme of Philippians. Over 16 times in four chapters, Paul uses the word joy or rejoice. Either the noun or the verb. Joy shows up throughout the book 16 different times in four short chapters. That's the theme of the book of Philippians. He wants us to learn and to experience and to find joy. And so with that in mind, let's look at what he says. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. As we think about turning stress into joy. 19 says, "For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." When he says, "I know that this shall turn out," what is the this? Well, we could spend a great deal of time talking about Paul's history and how he wound up writing the letter. We won't do that this morning. Just suffice it to say, the Reader's Digest version is this. Paul is in jail. He is in jail awaiting to see whether or not he is going to be allowed to live. And while he is in jail, he is chained there. He is imprisoned. And in the midst of what must feel like the coldest, darkest, worst time of his life, instead of getting angry and taking it out on those around him, instead of feeling sorry for himself and giving up on life instead of any of those options that so many of us turn to so quickly, Paul instead decides, I'm going to write to the churches and encourage them. It is in that setting that he writes a letter all about joy. And so that is the this in verse 19. I know that this, being imprisoned, being held captive like this, going through all the suffering and the pain that I've had to go through to stand for the gospel, I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And as he says that, he shows us the first key or the first concept that we want to look at this morning. One of the first things that we can do to turn stress into joy is to stay focused. One of the reasons that we feel stress is because we have our attention on so many things. We have our to-do list, and we have our to-assign list, and we have our list of lists, and we have our calendars that are full, and we look at the pantry and it's empty, and the bills are sitting on the kitchen table ready to be paid, and the checkbook doesn't seem to match what is in the bills, and we're looking at so many things. Not to mention the fact that the Hallmark Channel draws our attention with that one movie that they play over and over. They just put different characters in it, but it's really the same movie 100 times. This is a crazy time for us. And it can be so distracting that it's hard for us to stay focused. But notice what he says in his testimony. He says, I know that this is going to turn out for my deliverance. Not I hope, I wish, I know. It's a statement of faith. I know that God is at work. I know that this is going to work out for a purpose. He says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance because you're praying for me and the Holy Spirit of God is going to take care of me. You see, he never lost his focus. That's how he was able to find joy in jail. That's how he was able to turn what should have been stressful into an experience of joy. He never lost his focus. Instead of basing his faith on feelings, he remained joyful because he was focused on the person of Jesus Christ. You see, he says, I know this is going to work because of the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Remember, Hebrews teaches us, let us run with endurance the race marked before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We wind up feeling, experiencing stress when we have our eyes on the other people running around us or on the crowd. Are they cheering for me or are they yelling at me? When we have our eyes on where we have come, but when we put our eyes on the finish line in the race, in this case, when we put our eyes on Jesus Christ, the stress goes away. Because we're not distracted. We're not trying to please everyone. We're not trying to get everything done. We're just looking at Jesus and becoming more like Him. Stay focused is the first key to turning stress into joy. I like the way Corrie Ten Boom said it. She said, when I look at the world, I get distressed. When I look at myself, I get depressed. But when I look at Jesus, I find rest. You stay focused in order to allow the other stuff to be in its rightful place, which is in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're focused on Him, everything else seems to line up in the right place. You remember the great theologian, Charlie Brown? I used to love the Charlie Brown comic strips. One comic strip in particular was one of those occasions in which Lucy considers herself the doctor, and she is willing to give psychiatric help. She's advising Charlie Brown, and she uses the the image of a cruise ship and how people sit in those deck chairs on those cruise ships, you know. And she said to him in this comic strip, Charlie Brown, life is like a deck chair. Some place it so they can see where they're going. Others place it to see where they've been. And some so they can see where they are at the present. Charlie Brown replied, I can't even get mine unfolded. Now, Lucy was not always completely accurate in her psychiatric help. Most of the time, it was worth about a nickel. But in this case, she understood something very important, and that is that the way we see life is based on the perspective that we choose. Did you hear that? The way we see life is based on the perspective that we choose. Some choose to sit. I'm going to get the parts of the ship all confused, so we won't try that. Some sit at the front of the ship so they can see where they're going. Some sit at the back of the ship so they can see where they have come. Some sit right smack dab in the middle so that they can see where they are. It's a choice of perspective. And so that challenges us to this point. Since life is all about perspective, what or on whom do you focus? On what or on whom do you focus? Because you see, if we stay focused on the person of Jesus Christ, then all the chaos comes under submission to Him. Stress is not something caused on the outside of us. It's something that's caused on the inside. When we get under stress, we blame our circumstances, but they're not the cause of our stress. Stress is the response. Stress is in your mind. It's in your heart. It's how you react. It's the perspective you choose. This holiday season, we can represent Christ well by not letting the stress get to us the way it gets to everyone else around us. To do that, we have to stay focused. The second thing that we can learn from Paul about how to turn stress into joy is that we can remain faithful. We can remain faithful. Look at the next verse. We're in verse 20 now. He's already said that he knows that it's going to work for his deliverance because they're praying and because the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ is going to provide. Now, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. He says, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I know that I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that He will be honored, He will be glorified, whether I die in this hole in the ground or whether I live in order to speak to you again, one way or another. Whether I live or die, I know that I am serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore He will be glorified. The way to turn stress into joy is to remain faithful. You see, what happens so often is when things around us go awry, we all of a sudden decrease our faith. And it's almost as if we say to God, I've done so much for you, you owe me good circumstances all the time. Now, I know you would never say that, but there is a part of our human nature that feels that. I have been a good person, God, so you owe me good things. That, by the way, was the way that Job's friends thought. And Job had to teach them that being good and experiencing good do not always go together, and they are not an expression of God's love or faithfulness. In reality, there are good people who do not experience good things. Now, the hard part for us is there are also bad people who do experience good things. You see, the problem that we have is we try to equate. We try to earn everything. I've earned something good. But remember, the Christian faith is not about what we earn. It's about His grace, right? Aren't you glad you don't get what you deserve? Therefore, Paul is able to say, whether I die or whether I live, I know that Jesus Christ is going to be honored. I'm going to remain faithful. Whether good things happen or bad things happen, I'm going to remain faithful. If we see it that way, then something happens. We are able to see that God is blessing us. Regardless of the circumstances, we are able to recognize God's blessing. And when we recognize that God is at work and that He is blessing us, we're able to have the attitude that says, God is blessing, so I'm not stressing. Matter of fact, say that to your neighbor, but don't put a G on the end of those words. Say that to your neighbor. God is blessing, so I'm not stressing. That's it. It's pretty simple. I know, and it's not about my circumstances. It's about who God is. God is blessing. Therefore, I'm not going to stress. I'm turning stress into joy, regardless of what's happening around me. Revelation chapter 2 reminds us to be faithful. It says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2, verse 10. Be faithful in order to change stress into joy. He gives us another idea as well. Not only does he suggest to us that we want to stay focused, remain faithful, but he also teaches us that we want to be fruitful in order to change stress into joy. Let's read the next few verses then. Let's pick it up at verse 21. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. He says basically this. He says, if I stay alive, then the good thing about that is I'm going to be able to keep working with you and help you to keep growing. If I die, the good thing about that is I get to be with Jesus. And he says, to be honest with you, I'm struggling between which of those I want the most. I mean, it'd be cool to stay here and keep working with you guys, but hey, y'all ain't Jesus. If I die, I get to go to Jesus. I'm hard pressed, he says, to choose between the two, because either way, it's good stuff. That's joy. When we're able to say, either way, it's going to be good. Now, what makes it good? He says, I'm either going to be with Jesus, or if I live, I get to stay here and continue to bear fruit. He's going to continue to see the results of his labor, and that is a tremendous blessing. When he says, I get to keep working with you guys, he's talking about being fruitful. He's going to continue to see the fruits of his labor. I think perhaps that's one of the reasons that we feel stress sometimes. We're not able to be fruitful, to see that what we're doing makes a lasting impact around us. The population of this country is around 200 million. 84 million are retired. That leaves 116 million to do the work. There are 75 million in school, which leaves 41 million to do the work. Of this total, there are 22 million employed by the federal government. That leaves 19 million to do the work. 4 million are in the armed forces, which leaves 15 million to do the work. Take from that the total of 14.8 million who work for state and city governments, and that leaves 200,000 to do the work. There are 188,000 people in the hospital at any given time. That leaves 12,000 to do the work. Currently, there are 11,998 people in jail. That leaves just two people to do the work, you and me, and you're just sitting there listening. No wonder I'm tired and stressed. Isn't that how we feel sometimes? I'm the only one getting after it. There was a prophet in the Old Testament who felt that exact way. I'm the only one left, God. I'm the only one working, God. I'm the only one who cares. And we get to feeling like that, and that stress comes on so harsh. Instead of worrying about making sure we get the credit for all that we're doing, if our focus is actually on, am I helping someone else grow and am I showing them Jesus, that's being fruitful. If that's what my joy comes from, then I find joy in stress. If my purpose is to make sure everybody knows what I'm doing and I get credit for it, that's going to be stressful. If, however, my purpose is to help you become more like Jesus, that's bearing fruit and that brings joy. In spite of all the things he was going through, Paul was overflowing with joy because he knew that his situation, even though it was stressful, was full of ministry potential. Don't ever forget our theme verse, the verse that we've chosen for our church, the verse that guides who we are and what we do and why we do it. John chapter 15 and verse 5. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, if we're all about bearing fruit, if we're all about being fruitful, making a difference that makes a difference, we find joy instead of stress. Well, he gives us one more as well to help us turn stress into joy. We've learned to stay focused, to remain faithful. We've learned to be fruitful. And then we learn the importance of standing firm. If we learn to stand firm, then we can help to change stress into joy. Let's continue to read and find out how he did that. Verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do you hear the description of the church? That's what the church is about. Standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now there's a gift. Not only have you been given the gift that allows you to believe, you've also been given the chance to suffer. Doesn't sound like a gift most of us would want, does it? God has allowed us the opportunity to suffer for him. He chooses to let us be the ones who declare by our lives that Jesus is worth even our suffering. Verse 30, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. You experience, Paul says, you experience the same thing I do. You want to stay and serve and bear fruit, but you also want to be home. He says, I get it because I experience it too. And so he says, while you're here, stand firm. As Tammy says, don't lose the faith. Stand firm. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You see, what we do for Him is not wasted. He is with us. He will care for us, and we can trust Him. When we do that, we find joy. Is there always going to be stress? You bet. But the key is not to try to avoid stress. It's how to channel it effectively as a witness for God in a world full of stress. When you and I go through stress, we want the world to see that we handle it differently. And while we deal with stress, we find joy. Father, help us that we might experience that very thing for your glory. Father, we pray that you would help us to be living testimonies of joy in the midst of chaos. We ask you, Father, that you would help us to follow Paul's example, but even Jesus before him primarily, to become people of peace. People of strength, people of hope, people of joy. We're grateful that you have allowed us to know Jesus Christ, and in Him we have all that is necessary to be that kind of person, a person of joy. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to follow Him more closely, to trust Him each day. We ask it in Jesus' name.